You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves fan-sided website. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully you are having a great week so far. We are almost to the weekend. Today, we have a variety of topics. There's actually a couple of Wolves notes from the bubble this week that I want to go through off the top. We'll talk briefly about the NBA playoffs, which continue to roll on. Then we'll talk Wolves bubble. There's a couple additional mock drafts out there that include some trade talks, so we'll go through that. And then also there's a Bleacher Report piece on boom or bust free agents that includes a Timberwolves free agent to be. So I want to talk through all that. We're going to take a quick break from the big board today and get back to it. We did parts one and two on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We likely will get back to that for Friday's show as we kind of inch towards the late lottery on the big board. So before we do all that, though, a quick reminder that this show is daily and you can subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Of course, we'll be back Friday. Take a break for the weekend and be back with you on Monday as well. All right, in the NBA playoffs on Wednesday evening, the Miami Heat were victorious and took a 3-1 series lead. They led for most of the game until the Celtics kind of made things interesting, you know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and drew close. And then the Heat pulled away in the final minutes. The final score was 112-109, so it was a three-point game. But the Celtics trailed by, I think it was 9 points with about a minute to play after a quick push from Jimmy Butler and the Heat. Butler was really good in this game. He had 24 points, shot 8 of 20, but also had 9 rebounds, only one turnover in 39 minutes. Bam Adebayo had 20, 12, 4 assists and a couple of steals. And then Goran Dragic bounced back in this one, had 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and was a game best plus 11. The Boston Celtics really kind of dropped the ball in what was a winnable game. Jason Tatum didn't score at all in the first half. He ended up having 28 points, was 0 for 6 from the field in the first half, and never really got hot. Obviously, the final line score looked good for him. The final box score looked good for him. But this was a disappointing game for him, a disappointing start to the game. He did end up leading the team in scoring at 28 points, shot 10 of 22. So it was much better, obviously, in the second half than the first half, but had 6 turnovers in 39 minutes to just 4 assists. Marcus Smart had 10 and 11 and, you know, only shot 3 of 12, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. Jaylen Brown was very good again, 21 points, 9 rebounds. And Kemba Walker had a solid night with 25 and 4, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and a decent shooting night. But the Celtics are now on the brink. They're down 3-1 to Jimmy Butler and the Heat, and the Heat are about to do what the Jimmy Butler Timberwolves could not, and that is advance to, well, I guess they've already done what those Wolves could not, in that they've won 2 playoff series. But they're about to advance to the NBA Finals with just one more win. So congrats to the Heat for getting there. And they're a lot of fun to watch. You know, Jimmy Butler kind of bulldozing people, Goran Dragic playing, you know, on the ball, initiating offense early and more off the ball later in the game. And then just surrounding Butler with all these shooters, Bam Adebayo defensively, the combination of Jimmy Butler and Adebayo defensively. And then a couple of these other rangy wings, whether it be Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala has played a little bit more off the bench, and Solomon Hill's played more of a bit type role for the team. I neglected to mention somehow Tyler Hero. He overall in this game, Tyler Hero played 36 minutes off the bench, fourth most on the team. He was 14 of 21 shooting, made 5 threes on 10 attempts, and finished with 37 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Plus minus, he was a minus 4. He was on the floor at the end of the game when the Celtics made that final push to get within a possession. But you know, obviously a huge part of this team's rotation as a rookie, and a player that a lot of people thought the Wolves could be after in last year's draft, and a perfect fit for what they're trying to do. I mean, you take Jimmy Butler, take Bam Adebayo, add some rangy wings to kind of fill in defensively, and then a bunch of shooters, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jay Crowder, guys that can knock down threes in bunches, even Goran Dragic. And it's really the perfect kind of roster to play with Jimmy Butler as the lead guy, as the option 1A. And the Heat did a fantastic job building their roster for exactly that purpose. So kudos to the Heat. They're up 3-1. And the Western Conference Finals get back underway Thursday evening. Of course, the Lakers lead that series 2-1. The Nuggets won game 3. And we'll look to even the series at 8 o'clock Central on TNT on Thursday night. So we'll talk briefly about that at the start of Friday's show as well. All right, real quick, a couple notes on the Wolves bubble. That's what I want to talk about next. And then also the a little bit of this mock draft talk, boomer bust free agents, and that'll basically take up today's show. So next up, we're going to talk bubble. Before we do that, let's talk about our friends at rockauto.com, which is also our title sponsor of today's show. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, let's talk in-market bubble for the Timberwolves. That is the official name that the league is calling it, and the Wolves included in their press release. A couple of fun notes off the top. Shabazz Khan, who is the director of digital content for the Wolves, he used to be at the Sacramento Kings before that, had been with the Wolves in a different capacity with their online content. He's part of the in-market bubble, and on Twitter posted a photo of some of the things the Wolves gave him as a welcome package because he is in this bubble now, fully in the bubble for 2 weeks. It's a bubble for a reason. He can't leave, etc. So they have this welcome package that he showed all the things, obviously tons of snacks, face masks, an Amazon Fire Stick, a book, a framed photo of Shabazz and his wife, which is awesome. So the Wolves are going all in on this, and all the support staff and the people that are involved. And this really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's paid attention to what Gerson Rosas has brought, the culture he's brought to the front office, and really the autonomy that it seems like Glenn Taylor's given him to control everything and to get his hands in things and make sure that the culture is changed across the board, and not simply for the basketball staff. It's not restricted to players and assistant coaches. It's the equipment guys, and it's the medical crew, the sports and performance people, the technology people, the anybody that's in this bubble is going to get this treatment. And that's awesome that the Timberwolves are doing that. So kudos to the organization for that. And then also there's a video that the Wolves sent to various media members who, of course, are not in the bubble, but a number of media members, including Alan Horton, the radio voice of the Timberwolves, posted this video of basically about a minute of highlights from practice, full court drills, kind of the Wolves going from a fast break into a secondary break, working on getting the ball to the basket, kicking it out for threes. There was some, I don't remember who tweeted this, but basically the philosophy of a take and rake philosophy for the Wolves, which is take the ball off the glass, rebound it, and then rake on the other end for threes and layups. Get down the court, try and get a layup, kick the ball out to trailers for three-pointers in the corner. You can see them running the secondary break in this video. There's a lot of Jarrett Culver with his new shooting form, a couple of different makes in a couple of different situations for him on catch and shoot situations. There's a little bit of D'Angelo Russell, Jalen Noel working together, Canyon Berry in on the fast break, Josh Okogie making a layup in the paint, James Johnson sporting a completely new look, which you have to see it to, I can't describe it. You have to see his hair to believe it. But good to see the guys on the court together. There's no, Karl Anthony Towns is not in this video. He's not at least on the court in this video. So who knows? Not going to speculate. There's no news anywhere about him not being involved. All the reports were he'd be part of it. So who knows if he, for whatever reason, wasn't in this particular workout. Maybe that he wasn't there when in the gym when they filmed this video. Perhaps he was doing work on the side somewhere. Not sure. But there's also Jared Vanderbilt. So it's not like this is strictly starters running. There's other guys, obviously, who aren't in the video either that are on the team. So not going to read too much into that. But just so you're aware, if you're listening to this and going to go watch the video, Cat is not visible in the video. But that's out there. So good on the Wolves for actually putting something out into the Twitter sphere that everybody can watch and enjoy. And all of us who have missed Wolves basketball for, I don't know, almost 7 months now, at least have that to get us through another day, I guess, of no official Wolves basketball. All right. Beyond the Wolves bubble, there is a bit more, you know, obviously, mock draft conversation. Jonathan Wasserman at Bleacher Report, we've talked about his pieces quite a bit. He does a very good job. He's one of their best writers at Bleacher Report. He released his latest mock draft, which included trades. And of course, clicking on it, I expected it to include the Wolves because who doesn't want to make up fake trades for the number one pick? And everyone knows the Wolves are one of the most active teams in trade conversations. But he actually doesn't have the Wolves trading the number one pick in his latest mock. He has Minnesota taking Anthony Edwards, University of Georgia wing, and says that Edwards could give the lineup another shot creator, shot maker, and explosive athlete between Russell and Towns. And while his defensive effort wavered, there appears to be more to a potential tied to a 6'5", 225-pound frame. The Wolves will make and take calls for potential trades with the number one pick, though it seems unlikely they'll be offered an A-list star in this particular draft. He goes on to have the Knicks move up to 2 in a trade to take LaMelo Ball. The trade he proposes gives the Warriors the number 8 pick, the number 27 pick, Mavericks pick next year from the Knicks, and then also Frank Ntilikina. I don't see that haul being enough for the Warriors. I don't think they want 2 first-round picks in this year's draft. They'll probably take one next year, but they're going to want some other kind of asset. They don't want 8 and 27, I wouldn't think, unless they're confident enough in their player evaluation ability, and I'm sure that they are, to be able to pinpoint a couple more of these first-rounders on these fixed contracts. A number 27 pick, that's the range in which they've gotten, you know, the Jordan Bells and the Kevon Looneys of the world who were productive as rotation pieces for the Warriors in really successful seasons that saw them go to the finals and win some finals as well with these guys at, you know, the cost certainty of $3-4 million at the end of the first round. So perhaps that is enough. I tend to think the Warriors are going to hold out for more for the number 2 pick. He's got James Wiseman going to Charlotte at 3, Denny Avdija going to the Bulls at 4, which seems to be gaining some steam around various mock drafts. Obi Toppin of Dayton going to the Cavs at 5. And then he's got the Kings trading up to number 6 with the Atlanta Hawks, giving up the 12 and Buddy Hield for the number 6 pick, the 50th pick, which is the 20th pick in the second round, and Kevin Huerter to get up to 6 and take Onyeka Okongwu. That's actually a fascinating trade idea. I don't see the Hawks being super willing to move back. And I also don't see the Hawks trying to convince themselves. I mean, who knows, but if I'm the Hawks, I don't think Buddy Hield and Trae Young can play together in the same backcourt. I just think that's, you're just asking to give up 150 points a game. And the shoot, you know, there's a lot of shooting there, but you got a couple of guys, you're going to have half your possessions be Hield and Trae Young shooting 35 footers and of course I exaggerate, but that's basically what that offense would be. Whereas the Kings would then be receiving the number 6 pick to take Onyeka Okongwu and get Kevin Huerter. And then at that point, I mean, they're basically kicking off a rebuild, which is interesting because I don't know that Okongwu really has true star level ability unless you buy that he turns into Bam Adebayo, which is possible, but not the most likely scenario. So I think that's a little bit of a curious trade for both sides. Then the third trade he's got in the top 10, and I think this is relevant just to kind of build what somebody who's somewhat plugged in and does a good job writing about the draft. He obviously has a good pulse on what some of these picks are worth. At number 7, he's got the Celtics trading up from 14 with the Pistons to number 7 in order to take Tyrese Haliburton out of Iowa State. The Pistons would get the 14 and 26 picks as well as the 30 from Boston. So Detroit would be going for quantity over quality in terms of picks. 3 first rounders, 2 of them being in the bottom 4 picks in the draft, in the first round, I should say, or bottom 5 picks. And the Celtics would get the number 7 to take Haliburton. Haliburton feels like a very Celtics-y player and the type of guy that Brad Stevens might want on his team and his rotation to add more depth, more solid guys to what's already a team of very solid players outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They've just got a bunch of these, you know, good rotation guys. And Haliburton is that. That's what this draft has, is a bunch of guys. Their variance isn't quite as much. They've got a pretty high floor, pretty, you know, relatively low ceiling. And unless you strike gold, you're going to find a guy who's a good role player or starter. So that seems like a very Celtics-y trade. And then remember, the Warriors traded back in this scenario to number 8 from number 2, and he's got them taking Devin Vassell at 8, which seems about right. It seems like the type of player the Warriors would target. I talked a lot about him the other day on the show as somebody who's moved into my top, I think my top 5. I think I have him number 5 on my list in terms of my Wolves big board. Yeah, I have him number 5 because I think he's a perfect fit in terms of a big 3-and-D wing. Exactly the sort of guy the Warriors might target in that Andrew Wiggins role. You know, Wiggins is in that role now. Who knows how long he's on the Warriors. Vassell could step in and be better, a better three-point shooter and a better defender than Wiggins is right now. And that's clearly what the Warriors would be thinking if they indeed pulled the trigger on such a trade. All right, the last thing I want to cover on today's show is talking through the Boomer Bust free agent piece on Bleacher Report as well, and then we'll get into the big board again on Friday's show. So next up, let's talk free agency. All right, let's talk about free agency. There's a Bleacher Report piece by Zach Buckley, who's another one of their basketball writers that we talk about quite a bit. He talks about 5 Boomer Bust free agents. All of them are unrestricted except for Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley is the number 1 player he lists in terms of boom or bust free agents. And I'm going to read an excerpt from what he wrote about him. He says, quote, "Godspeed to the decision makers forced to flesh out the substance for Malik Beasley's track record. He was barely a blip on the NBA radar in his first 2 seasons with the Nuggets, had a modest breakout, 11.3 points per game on Utlis's shooting line, which is 47.4% from the field, 40.2% from 3 in his 3rd go-round. Up next, he played 41 frustrating games with Denver this season, got moved to the Timberwolves at the deadline, and immediately flashed a higher gear than ever. The problem is the Wolves' run spanned all of 14 games, and Minnesota was much worse with him on the court than without, 9.3 points per 100 possessions worse. So then he asked the question, what is he worth in free agency? Could he be a star who earns his money, or could he be someone who isn't a ball mover on offense, and he's not a defensive stopper? He's undersized. He's a little bit streaky. Will the Wolves overpay him? He has a Gerson Rosas quote where he says that the Wolves are, quote, big fans of Malik, and that was during this hiatus here heading into free agency. And remember, Beasley did opt to participate in the bubble. He wasn't visible in that video I referenced earlier that the Wolves released, but he apparently is part of the in-market bubble despite his restricted free agency status. So it would stand to reason the Wolves are very interested in bringing him back. The points per possession thing, the 9.3 points worse per 100 possessions with him than without, there's other factors, there's other noise that affects that. The Wolves had a bunch of weird rotations. They were playing a lot with Beasley and Russell in the backcourt without, outside of Josh Okogie, no real plus defenders on the roster. Towns was obviously hurt. So there's a lot of other factors, a lot of noise that kind of plays into that. It can't be ignored. And we've talked before on the show about how Beasley's defensive question marks are real. And that combined with his lack of size, combined with D'Angelo Russell's relative lack of athleticism and defensive ability, it's a little scary for the Wolves starting backcourt if that is indeed what happens. But at the right price, if there's the upside of shooting over 40% from 3 and being a high usage or not a generally high usage guy, but somebody who basically like 75 to 80% of his shots are going to be threes, and he jacks up 7 or 8 a game in the backcourt, he's dynamic in transition. I mean, you could pay him 12, 13 million and feel pretty good about it. So I like calling this a boomer bust. I think it makes sense to call him a boomer bust guy. For some additional context, other players that Buckley has on his list, Montrezl Harrell, an unrestricted free agent from the Clippers, Andre Roberson from the Thunder, who of course hasn't played in a couple of years, but was one of the league's best defenders and a solid rebounder for some good Thunder teams, but he'll be a free agent. Hassan Whiteside will be a free agent from Portland. Remember, the Heat got better after they traded him, and Portland got worse when he joined him. I'm not saying that that's a full indictment on Hassan Whiteside, but there's a lot of question marks as to how far those numbers carry. Remember, his last deal was 4 years, $98 million from Miami, and they ultimately traded him at 3 years in. And then the Pistons' Christian Wood, who was one of my picks for Sixth Man of the Year this year, as just kind of coming out of nowhere, but he'll be a restricted free agent after his last 15 games averaged 22 points, 9.5 rebounds, and over a 3.5 per game. And I mean, he's going to get paid with this breakout. He's 6'10" with a 7'3" wingspan, and he is he's talented. He's athletic, and he's going to make some money on the open market. Obviously, not somebody that Timberwolves are probably going to target. In fact, none of these guys really are very likely guys that the Wolves would target, but still notable that Beasley's on this list of the five boom or bust NBA free agent targets headed into the offseason. All right, tomorrow's show on Friday, I do want to get back into the big board. I want to get through numbers 8, 9, and 10 and kind of put a bow on that top 10. Next week, we'll get into the late lottery, into where the Wolves have a pick at number 17. This is, again, the second version of my big board, so we'll get a better sense for where things stand. Now, we're within 2 months. We're now like 7 weeks out from the draft, although I keep losing track as this is like the third time we've had a countdown to the draft. So that's coming up next. So be sure to tune in for Friday's show. And we'll also talk about the Nuggets-Lakers game 4 that takes place Thursday evening. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, today's episode was brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.